Tonight, massive crowds from coast to coast.
Families belong together!
Braving sweltering heat to protest family separations at the border as thousands of children still wait to be reunited with their parents. A nuclear North, an NBC News exclusive on the efforts by North Korea to keep its program alive. Is Kim Jong-un trying to deceive President Trump? Plastic pollution. Amid an environmental emergency, one family tries to live plastic-free. Could you do it? And defying the odds, the inspiring story of a young man who's overcome kidnapping and torture, now running toward a brighter future.
This is NBC Nightly News with Jose Diaz-Balart.
Good evening. Hundreds of thousands of people in communities across the country mobilized today for migrant families, protesting President Trump's policy that separated children from their loved ones. Tonight, more than 2,000 of those children remain in detention centers in a country that's not their own, far from their parents. The White House mostly silent on the issue today. Our own Steve Patterson is in Los Angeles, where organizers say more than 50,000 people took to the streets.
Tonight, a demand for action. Hundreds of thousands marching in more than 700 planned protests from coast to coast, many battling brutally hot temperatures, but all unified under one message: families belong together. From New York to Chicago to San Francisco, activists calling for the Trump administration to swiftly reunite roughly 2,000 migrant children still separated from their families, most after illegally crossing the border.
Don't give up! Don't give in! Keep marching!
There's parents right now who can't sing lullabies to their kids.
Playwright Lin-Manuel Miranda headlining the rally just outside of the White House.
We will not stand for our country separating children from their families. And if you are silent on that issue, or if you are somehow for that issue, you're not getting reelected.
President Trump wasn't home, but tweeting today, when people come into our country illegally, we must immediately escort them back out without going through years of legal maneuvering. He also encouraged law enforcement carrying out his immigration policy, writing, "You are doing a fantastic job of keeping us safe by eradicating the worst criminal elements."
Do you think those children will be reunited with their parents in a timely manner?
Absolutely not. I have no trust.
This week, a federal judge in California ordered the separated children back within 30 days. Customs officials say about 500 have been reunited. 40 miles from a detention center on the Texas border, Adriana Chavarria says it's personal.
I worry about the world that my kids are growing up in.
It's not clear how exactly those remaining children will be reunited, but today, so many made sure that the call for answers will be heard.
Activists say the plan now is to carry some of this momentum forward. One of the biggest aspects of today was getting people registered to vote so they remember moments like this when it really counts, like at the ballot box in November. Jose?
Steve Patterson in Los Angeles, thank you. Now to an NBC News exclusive. New concerns tonight about efforts by North Korea to ramp up its nuclear program. It comes just a few weeks after President Trump's historic summit with Kim Jong-un, and the president saying the North no longer posed a threat. NBC's Janice Mackey-Frayer reports on what multiple U.S. officials call attempted deception.
It was a remarkable moment. The leaders of the U.S. and North Korea standing shoulder to shoulder, pledging to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. But now, more than a dozen U.S. intelligence officials tell NBC News that despite this month's historic summit, North Korea appears to be pushing ahead with its nuclear program, stepping up production of enriched uranium in recent months at multiple secret sites. One official saying of the North Koreans, there's no evidence that they are decreasing stockpiles or that they've stopped their production.
What's clear here is that the U.S. believes, in fact, they are being deceptive about the actual size of their program.
That North Korea is growing its nuclear arsenal and concealing it appears to contradict President Trump's view.
We're going to have a great discussion, and I think tremendous success. It'll be tremendously successful.
That the summit was a success, and North Korea is no longer a nuclear threat. The North did stop missile and nuclear tests and said it would destroy an engine testing site. But just days ago, satellite imagery showed rapid upgrades at Yongbyon, its main nuclear site. Analysts say it's not unexpected that North Korea has an active nuclear program or covert sites, but that intelligence officials would reveal it.
They understand that North Korea is trying to still cheat the United States.
The White House has declined to comment on the intelligence assessment and how it may affect what President Trump has called a special bond. Janice McBrayer, NBC News, Beijing.
You don't have to be outside more than a few moments to feel the heat wave gripping much of the country right now. Heat advisories from coast to coast and millions experiencing near triple-digit temperatures. As we head into a long holiday week, this summer scorcher may be sticking around. NBC's Blake McCoy is among the many trying to beat the heat.
Sweltering summer heat now settling into the East Coast.
It is so hot.
After swamping the Midwest for days.
It's definitely sweaty. It's definitely hot.
120 million Americans are under advisories or warnings this holiday weekend. In Chicago, it feels like 107 degrees. The Department of Transportation had to water down the Michigan Avenue Bridge so it could open and close for passing boats. In New York and New Jersey, cooling centers are open through the weekend. If you have to brave the hot weather, some tips. Avoid strenuous activity, wear light clothing, drink plenty of fluids.
Safety is everyone's responsibility, so we remind everyone to stay hydrated and check on our neighbors and family.
And don't forget your pets.
We usually take her out early in the morning and then later in the evening and constantly giving her fluids.
The holiday weekend means many of us are sweating things out away from home. AAA estimates 47 million Americans are traveling this 4th of July, the highest number since tracking began. At New York's famous Coney Island, it's not just the dogs that are hot. It turns out the toughest game on the boardwalk today is staying cool.
This icy helps, I'm sure.
It does.
Is that helping?
Yeah. It helps me stay hydrated.
Tomorrow is going to be even hotter. Get this, the high temperature in New York City is going to be above 90 degrees for 5 days in a row. That will be the longest heat wave in 2 years. Jose?
Blake McCoy, thank you very much. So how long will this heat wave stick around and when will we start to see some relief? NBC's Dylan Dreyer has a look at our forecast. Good evening, Dylan.
Good evening, Jose. It is exceptionally hot. It's not just the warm temperatures, it's the humidity. The heat index will feel like it's above 90 degrees for 225 million people on Sunday. 95 million people will be feeling like it's above 100 degrees. On Monday, it sags out of the Northeast a little bit, but still 70 million people, it will feel like it's over 100 degrees. And we're talking way over 100 degrees. So looking at our high temperatures going into Sunday, we'll be in the mid to upper 90s, but New York City will feel like 109. Charlotte will feel like 98. Memphis will feel like 105 on Monday. And going into next week, it still stays very hot in Washington, D.C. It'll feel like 106 on Monday. Paducah will feel like 103 on Monday, still feeling like 99 by the 4th of July. With this system, though, a cold front moving to the east, combining with the heat and humidity, we also have to watch out for some strong storms, especially in the Chicago area by Sunday evening. Jose?
Jill Dreyer, thank you so much. Rain could bring some possible relief in the Midwest, while the record heat and dry conditions are helping to fuel wildfires across other parts of the country. Hundreds of homes have been evacuated in Colorado, where one fire has already scorched more than 23,000 acres. Crews in Utah are working to contain multiple fires, while California's wine country faces red flag warnings. It is deadline day for thousands of people left homeless when brutal hurricanes devastated the U.S. mainland and Puerto Rico last year. FEMA is ending the program that provided temporary housing for those survivors. And now the big question for so many of them is, what's next? NBC's Maya Rodriguez reports.
When Hurricane Maria slammed into Puerto Rico 9 months ago, its 155-mile-per-hour winds ripped through homes and lives. David Olmeda and his family are some of the thousands of Puerto Ricans left with nothing who fled to the U.S. mainland after the storm. They found a temporary home at a motel in suburban Orlando, paid for by FEMA.
I don't have family in this state. Yeah, it's very hard.
But the program that helped David and nearly 25,000 other survivors of Hurricanes Maria, Irma, and Harvey ends today. In a statement, FEMA said the program was, quote, a temporary solution that bridges survivors into more permanent options. Permanent options, tough to find in Florida's tight rental market. After multiple extensions, Hurricane Maria survivors have two options, find their own place to live, or receive a one-way plane ticket back to Puerto Rico.
This is one of the storage rooms for our food pantry.
In Central Florida, United Way and local churches, like Reverend Jose Rodriguez's, are trying to help those who want to stay with food and rental assistance.
My biggest fear are people out in the streets.
Myra Rodriguez is one of the lucky ones. United Way recently helped her move into an apartment.
Some days, you feel like giving up. But I have a 16-year-old, so I have to think about.
David Olmeda and his family will move into their own apartment this weekend, but it's bittersweet for him. There are a lot of people here that are now my friends, he says, and I wish I could take them all with me, but I can't.
Pero no puedo.
A concern for the nearly 2,000 other Puerto Rican families now out of time. Maya Rodriguez, NBC News, Kissimmee, Florida.
It's a questionable call that's got people talking tonight. 12-year-old Reggie Field is an Ohio boy with his own lawn mowing business. Last week, during one of his jobs, a neighbor called the police when he cut a small part of her grass by accident. Reggie's customer came to his defense in a Facebook video and started a GoFundMe page that has now raised more than $10,000. Still ahead tonight, it's the product we rely on for so many of our goods. But could you live without plastic? Also, it seemed a success, but just seconds after launch, this rocket left spectators stunned. I'll tell you why. Chances are you can't look around your room right now without seeing something made of plastic. It's a big part of our lives, but also a major source of pollution. Starting tonight, we're highlighting the urgent steps some are taking in hopes of protecting our planet. Here's NBC's Rahima Ellis.
It's in landfills, streets, and waterways. Floating islands of plastic garbage are creating a disturbing reality for wildlife who often mistake it for food. But it wasn't always this way.
Plastics played an essential role.
Discovered in the early 1900s, plastic was considered a miracle product first used by the military. Today, it's a vital part in so many of the things we use, from medical devices to computer components. And while most of it can be recycled, 90% is not. And some plastic products can take centuries to disintegrate. Environmentalists say the situation is dire.
Everybody needs to wake up, and we need to do something about this. We can stem the tide and turn off the faucet of this stuff coming into the ocean and coming into our environment.
While many cities across the globe are moving to ban some plastic products, it's a daunting task. Americans use 100 billion plastic bags a year. Worldwide, 1 million plastic bottles are bought every minute. 8 million pieces of plastic end up in the ocean every day. The plastics industry says better consumer recycling is key.
Whether it's plastic or other type of materials, it's not, the material itself, it's how we're disposing of those things.
You want some more?
The DeFrisco family outside of Chicago is trying to live plastic-free. They get milk in glass bottles, fruits and vegetables packed in boxes. But it's not easy, says Mom Emily.
Did it come just naturally? Boom, you stop.
No, I think it's a process. I think it's all about taking little steps, and you eliminate one thing at a time.
Good job.
It's the little things she hopes will turn the tide. Canvas shopping bags, wooden utensils, metal water bottles. Shopping, Emily steers clear of plastic unless it has an important code.
So this is PET, this is number one, and that is one of the more recyclable types of plastic.
The kids are all in.
I don't want it to go in a garbage or recycling.
One family trying to live plastic-free, hoping to make a world of difference for the next generation. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, Oak Park, Illinois.
On the broadcast tomorrow night, we continue our series, Protecting Our Planet, with a look at the growing movement to get rid of those single-use plastic straws. Forget about Timmy and the well. We're back in a moment with the painstaking efforts to free a little puppy that got trapped down a very deep hole. A spectacular fail on the launch pad in Japan. Just seconds after lifting off, a commercial rocket came crashing back down to Earth. Look at that, creating a massive fireball. No one was injured in the test launch. The Japanese startup behind the unmanned rocket says it's looking into a possible glitch in the main engine. This marked the company's second launch attempt after a similar result last year. The fiery flow of lava on Hawaii's Big Island is showing no signs of slowing down. New images from one of the most active volcanic fissures show the steady stream going right into the sea. Look at that. Fissure also has formed what's called a spatter cone that's reached the height of about 200 feet. Hundreds of homes have been destroyed since Kilauea's recent increase in activity. It took more than 30 hours and some sardines to free a tiny puppy that fell down a 50-foot hole. 7-week-old Toffee was in her foster family's backyard in Alabama when she fell in. Toffee is deaf, also partially blind due to her age. Rescue crews made several attempts before finally coaxing her out early this morning, thanks in part to the smell of those sardines. When we come back, we'll introduce you to a young man whose persistence to succeed goes well beyond cross-country tracks. Once beaten to the point he couldn't walk, a young man is now running toward a promising future, despite setbacks that many of us can't even begin to imagine. NBC's Joe Fryer introduces us to this inspiring athlete.
To be a great distance runner, it takes patience and persistence, qualities that define a wet Baraki.
He's the toughest person I've met yet and probably will ever meet.
When fellow runner Jackson Truesdale heard a wet story, he knew he had to share it, writing an article for his school magazine. It begins in the African country Eritrea, where Wet grew up until age 12, when he was kidnapped.
How scared were you?
When I saw the guns, the knives, I was like terrified at that moment.
He and others were taken to the Sinai Peninsula where they were held for ransom. Wet was starved and tortured for 11 months.
Did you think you were going to survive?
Oh yeah, from there I knew I'm not going to survive.
It's hard to imagine the young man running so effortlessly today was once beaten so badly he no longer had the strength to crawl. Eventually released by his captors, Awet spent time in a refugee camp but never saw his parents again. Finally came a chance to come to America, ending up at Palmer High School in Colorado Springs.
How do we pronounce our first word here?
Where teacher Chris Duvall helped Awet learn English.
He has a really big heart, and I don't know if it's despite everything that he's gone through or if it's because of the things that he's gone through.
Are you taking any days off?
Nope.
Awet also joined Coach Rob Gilliam's cross-country running team.
How good of a runner is he?
He's amazing.
Despite every obstacle, Awet has defied the odds.
Awet Yosef Baraki.
Graduating from high school and earning a full athletic scholarship to college.
What's the lesson?
The lesson? Probably never give up. Yeah, probably just keep going.
Patience and persistence. The traits that keep Awet Baraki racing towards something better. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Colorado Springs.
Great life lesson. That's NBC Nightly News for this Saturday. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at a drug that's shown promising signs in the opioid epidemic in France and why the drug that helps to curb the craving is so hard to find here in the United States. I'm Jose Diaz-Balart reporting from New York. Thank you for the privilege of your time. Good night.